This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Americans are making less money and spending more of what they do have.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There is word this morning from the government that people spent slightly more money in August, 0.2% more. But income, what people make, fell for the first time in nearly 2 years. Let's get a little analysis on those numbers. Jill Schlesinger is editor-at-large at CBS Money Watch. And she's with us live from New York, as she is every Friday morning. Morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Why are we making less money?
Well, it's actually a longer-term trend. You may be surprised to even know that. But really, since the 60s till today, real disposable income has been slowing. Of course, since the recession, conditions really deteriorated further. That's because companies were reducing all the hiring and their hours. And that was an effort to make more money in whatever way they could.
Now, one company, Jill, is trying to make more money. It was announced today, Bank of America is going to start charging its debit card users $5 a month starting next year. I mean, we know they want to make money, but what's really behind this?
Well, no one ever confused banking with the Red Cross. So, yes, they do want to make money. But this is actually a direct reaction to credit card reform. Banks really kind of threatened us during that whole process. They said, well, you know, government, if you reduce the amount of money we make in swipe fees, we're going to have to make that up someplace else. And evidently, banks are going right to the heart of the matter. They're going to debit cards. Banks were actually about to lose $6.6 billion in lost revenue from those swipe fees. So I'm not surprised that they came at this, and they came at it hard.
And some other banks have done this as well, to be sure.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be a trend. Banking is going to cost more for all of us. And I think that that is something we have to just take in and say, all right, we know it. Let's make sure we know what we're paying for.
The future of banking. All right. Jill Schlesinger from CBS Money Watch joining us live from New York. Jill, thank you.
Take care.
Have a great weekend, too. Let's do the numbers. Well, global markets are mostly lower at the moment. In Europe, markets are off anywhere from 1% for the FTSE. In London, the DAX is off 2.5% right now. German shares are down. We also have word from Asia that markets were down there today as well, although the Nikkei pretty much ended the day even. Ousted Hewlett-Packard CEO Leo Apotheker leaves HP with $13 million in cash and stock. Apotheker was in command for less than a year, while the company's market value dropped by $40 billion. Wall Street yesterday, the NASDAQ lost a little ground, but the Dow tacked on 143 points to close at 11,153. Well, there's a big football game tomorrow. Well, quite a few, actually, including Air Force playing Navy. And it comes at a time when both those teams could be preparing to join the Big East Conference to replace Pitt and Syracuse, which are leaving next year. Sally Herships looks at what Big East membership could mean for both teams.
When it comes to football, the Navy has always been an independent. The Air Force is part of the Mountain West Conference. But financially, they're in similar situations.
Typically, any football program outside of the Big Six football conferences don't make money.
Victor Matheson teaches sports economics at the College of the Holy Cross. He says joining a premier conference translates into millions in television revenue. Dr. Harvey Schiller is former commissioner of the Southeastern Conference. He says the greater exposure has a number of benefits, but
they also have to be careful that they don't line up every Saturday against the Big Ten.
Like Ohio State or Michigan. Schiller says the military academies impose weight restrictions to keep their students fit for the battlefield. That doesn't help on the football field. No matter where Navy and Air Force land, they may have trouble recruiting. Many prospects are gunning for a stint in the NFL, not the armed forces. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by PBS, presenting Ken Burns' Prohibition, a look at the law that turned America lawless, starting Sunday at 8, 7 Central on PBS. By Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Allianz, providing investment, insurance, and retirement solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S. since 1896. AllianzUSA.com.
There's a big financial bloggers conference starting up in Chicago today, and our own personal finance wizard, Marketplace Money host Tess Vigeland, is headed to the Windy City to check that conference out, and she joins us now with a preview. Morning, Tess.
Good morning, Steve.
So financial blogs are pretty much everywhere now.
They are. And you know, what we're really talking about here specifically is personal finance blogs. And there's a pretty wide range of what you'll find. You have lots of blogs dedicated to frugal tips.
Yeah.
Wise Bread, probably one of the most well-known. But there are hundreds like Frugal Dad, Frugal Girl, Frugal Law Student, and it goes on and on.
I'm sensing a trend there.
Yes. And then you also have the ones where people who are usually anonymous will open up their financial lives for everybody to see what you spend, what you make, and hopefully that kind of keeps you on the straight and narrow. And my open wallet is one of those.
And all these people are going to be in Chicago meeting.
They are.
Wow. What are these folks going to be talking about?
Well, I think for a lot of them, the sessions are about helping them make some money off their efforts.
Yeah.
There are thousands of personal finance blogs out there, and you need to figure out how to make yours stand out. One of the sessions is called Getting to a Million Page Views on a Small Budget. So it's really about helping them boost traffic.
How do we know whether to trust some of these people? I mean, anyone can go on the web.
Yeah, that's for sure. And, you know, at this point, a lot of them have been around long enough that they've got a track record, like most of the ones I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But I did notice this week that Wise Bread put together a really great list of top personal finance blogs. So you can check that out. We'll have a link to that on our website.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, lots of them are just basically telling their stories. There's no science to it. You need to be a smart consumer, figure out, you know, if a blog you've landed on is somehow scamming you. But for the most part, this is just folks saying, here, this is what works for me.
Take it with a grain of salt.
Always.
All right. Well, enjoy the time in Chicago, and we look to hear the program when you come back.
I'm looking forward to the Red Hots.
All right. Tess Vigeland, host of Marketplace Money. Tess, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
And finally, researchers at Cornell University say there really is a late afternoon slump. You need look no further than Twitter. According to thousands of global tweets that they studied, the day starts off with words such as happy and excited. But as time goes on, those tweets use words such as sad and panic. In the study, those researchers also found happy hour typically means after 4 p.m. on Monday through Thursday, but after lunch on Friday. Let's keep that in mind, huh? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM. That's American Public Media.
It takes some guts to make a television show called How to Make It in America in the middle of the worst economy in 70 years.
You could kind of feel that the show would be a lot of keeping your head above water and have the spirit of that, and sort of wrapping on Election Day in 2008, you kind of felt it.
I'm Kai Rizdahl on HBO, a show about surviving. Stories next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.